passage. And Father, we pray that you will touch all our hearts, Lord. We need the fresh filling of the Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, we don't want to be dry, we want to be filled. Lord, we pray that we would not be in a rut, but that we would be revived. Send revival, Father, to each of our hearts. Keep us open to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a passage, Acts 13, that has always meant a lot to me, because when Caroline and I were living in Oxford, and we had a one-bedroom flat there, and we had it's called a pastorate, but it's really a life group of 30 people, all meeting in our one-bedroom flat. We felt that it was the right time to plant a group out of that. It was too big. And we used this passage, Acts 13, to help us on our way as to how to plant a new congregation back then. And that's what we're doing here. We're grafting this St. Michael's graft that Lydia has shown us, the amazing team that we've got. And actually, I wanted to take this moment to say that this is a significant moment for us here at St. Mary's over these next few months. It's a real time of change as a church. It feels to me like one of the biggest times of change we've ever had. I mean, we've never done this before, as far as I can remember. I think way, way back, St. Michael's was actually planted by St. Mary's in 1935. I don't know if anybody was here then. I wasn't. And actually, it's great in the purposes of God that he's called us to be a blessing once again, to bring that flourishing. And the graft literally is about, just like in gardening, how it's about propagating new fruit and revitalization, and that seeing the Spirit move in a fresh and in a new way over at St. Michael's. And that's what we're about. So it is a significant moment of change for us here. And the thing is that the graft will obviously bring change at St. Michael's, with new ministry there and the congregation already there who also want that change to happen. They voted unanimously on their PCC for this graft to happen. They want to see God move in them in a new way. And there's going to be change, and there's going to be blessing that comes to them. But also it's going to mean, even though people are going out from us, it means that we will change. Something's going to change here. And I think it's really powerful to have the team up here this morning already. And as we look at that team, we do feel that mixture of sacrifice and joy. We feel that mixture really of something painful, but also something beautiful, because saying goodbye is not easy. And it isn't easy for, if you like, a donor church to give that. But the Bible says in Acts 20, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's just who we are. That's just how it is in the kingdom of God, that we're always called to give and to be generous and to share. So it will change us too. And my prayer is that something that God is going to do here in us and in St. Michael's both that he will increase the temperature of mission-heartedness in each of us. Because this is all about the gospel. It's all about sharing Jesus with more people than ever before. And that God would increase the temperature of the culture of being gospel people and people who want to bring the life of Jesus further and further and to more and more people. That's got to be our heart. We are not a club. We are not here for us. We are here for others. We are here to extend the kingdom. We're not here to just have everything we want. We're here to have everything God wants among us. And I wonder whether actually it's good for us to have a bit of a shake-up, being shaken out of some of maybe our comforts, being shaken out of the way we do things, being shaken maybe and thinking, well, you know, like, do you know what? One of the best things I can think of was like when Anne and Colin come forward, there they are, and they've been here for 40 years, and it just reminds me that God can put his hand on any of us and say, it's time. I'm calling you to mission. I'm calling you to something new. And that's something I want all of us to hear, because this graft is not just for, you know, 12 people. It's for all of us. And God's calling all of us to step out They're going to step out in a particular way. But we're all called to step out. And we're all called to step up. And I wonder whether God could use this graft to just sharpen us where we've become blunt, to give us that edge of his love and of his kingdom and of mission to see the Spirit come. Because if anything, I feel more dissatisfied than ever that we are on a roundabout instead of on revival, going round and round. You ever feel that about church? Round and round we go. Yes. Just hands up if you ever feel like that in church. Good. I've got some brothers and sisters who feel the same as me. I feel that. It grieves me. It's not something I'm happy about. I was joking with the prayer meeting this morning. I'm not a happy vicar this morning. I don't want us to be on a roundabout. I've been here for 10 years now, nearly, with Caroline. We don't want to do another 10 years on a roundabout. Or in a rut. I mean it. I want us to see the Spirit move. And to see God do something among us. And if we all have that heart, that's a good thing. But we have to be prepared to do something. I don't even know what, but something. I'm feeling exercised about what the next thing for us is. Because we definitely don't want just more of the same, same old. We don't want to do that. I don't know what God will do next here. But I do believe it's something of a stirring up, something shaking, something different. I don't know. If you know, let me know. I would love that. That's why I believe this is a moment, it's a significant moment for us as a church. As we're sending people out, because there's going to be change for us, but it will be change for the better. Even though it's tough to let go and to say goodbye. And I liken these goodbyes to like gospel goodbyes. Because it's for the purpose of the kingdom of God. It's not because we want to say goodbye to anybody. We love each other. We love each other. But we're saying goodbye to this team on the particular journey we're on. And they're going to go on a different journey, even though we're going to be neighbors and partners with them. It'll be a slightly different journey, but the same journey. And it's gospel goodbyes because it is about the gospel. That's why Jesus has us here and not in heaven with him. We could worship in heaven with him, but he's still got us here. So why? Why does Jesus have you and me now here for such a time as this? What has God got for you? There are no bystanders in the kingdom of heaven. God is saying to some of us, you know, there's going to be opportunities that will come because some of our friends who are moving on are leaving big gaps in our church life. And God wants to call some of us to really step up into a new ministry. And God may bring you into something quite new that maybe you didn't expect. And maybe that's part of the moving of the shaking up and the different time, the new season that God may call us into. So we want to celebrate this morning, to celebrate a revitalization of ministry at St. Michael's, but we also want to get excited about a new chapter here at St. Mary's and to recognize it is costly. And I suppose I want to say this because just like anybody, I mean, most of us don't do change well, do we? Let's be honest. A lot of times, and some people are surprised about this because it looks like, but I sometimes struggle with change. I mean, ask Caroline. We tried to do something small in the garden and I'm like, well, I'm not sure we should be doing that, you know. And then we do it and I'm like, yes, that was a good idea. I struggle with change. I don't like change in some ways. I mean, I love it in others. I love it when it goes well. I don't like it when it doesn't go well. That's my problem. And I need to get better at failing, actually, it's a good thing to fail when you learn and you fail and you get up and try again. And that's okay. But we want to be this costly mission, and it's going to mean change. It's going to mean that we're going to not be in a stable, if you like, place for a little while. And that's good because God does that kind of thing. He does it. If you read your Bible, that's what God's doing on almost every page. He's shaking people. He's moving people. He's changing people. He's transforming people. He's always at work. He never leaves us static. And that would be the worst thing if we ever became static or indifferent or just, I don't know, sitting in the pew and just waiting for something to happen. Because actually, some words that are going around in my head at the moment just are that God wants us to be a missionary society. A missionary society. And here's the other thing. When we send out these brothers and sisters to St. Michael's, it's just the beginning. Because God wants to keep sending people. That's what he's been doing for years and years here. Sending people. Remember Sam and Anna? Our dear friends, gone off to plant a church in Barking Riverside. So many people through the years here have been sent out in different capacities. And that's what this is all about. And so we're a missionary society. There's going to be new opportunities here with which to serve. We may need to think about things differently, and we're going to be praying into that. But see, what does God want for us? What does God want to do here and in St. Michael's as we work together? This is such a time of change. In the New Testament church, it was not easy. It was glorious, but it was not easy. It was costly. And that's what will happen here. And if we can recognize that and just don't be surprised that it's difficult. Don't be surprised that our emotions go all over the place with gospel goodbyes and also with celebration, with joy, with sacrifice. That's what the Bible says. Don't be surprised at these times that we are in, because the Spirit of glory rests upon us. When we want God to do more, we're going to get that sense of being disturbed in our souls, because actually God's giving us a burden for something new. He's giving us a heart to serve. He's breaking our hearts for the streets and the neighborhoods we live in. And one of my prayers, and I've really felt this for a long time over myself and over us as a church, I sometimes say, Lord, forgive me for my lack of tears about this community. You know, I really want to learn to love this community more. All our dry eyes. Like Jeremiah said, oh, that my eyes were like a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for my people. There's a man who loved. Sometimes I think, do I really love this community? And it's easy to be indifferent. It's easy to be hard-hearted. It's easy to push away and just think, well, can we just do things exactly as we've always done them? And actually, that would be comfortable, but it would not be the kingdom of God. And somehow we've got to, find a way to break up the ground of our hearts that's become hard and say, God, do something new here. Lord, do a work of revival. I need that, and I think you do too. I may be so bold. I need it. I need God. I need more of God. I'm not here to pretend this morning. Don't look here and think I've got it sorted. I'm just like you, needing more of God, more of his grace, more of his power. I want to see God move more. I'm disturbed by my indifference so often. And I pray that God will shake us all up and do something in all of us that will mean something glorious for the kingdom of God. Because that's really what we're here for. That's what we're here for. And so, this is a call for courage and to take risks and to sacrifice. Like it says in Acts 20, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's what this is about. So it's a holy moment for us as a church. It's a significant moment. And God has got all of us here for such a time as this. And that's why we read this Acts 13 passage and take a look at it, because this passage is a significant in the New Testament. This is the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. He had three. That's why I believe the whole Bible, including the maps at the back, and in your map at the back, no doubt, of your Bible, you'll see Paul's missionary journeys. Three of them, he went all around Asia Minor, preaching the gospel and bringing the kingdom. And this is the beginning of it, Acts 13. They've seen the gospel come to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria. Do you remember at the beginning of Acts? That's the prayer. And then to the ends of the earth. And now we're seeing the gospel, a church here in the city of Antioch. And they're about to do something that they've never done before. Because this is the first time that a church which is not being persecuted at that moment has launched out intentionally to send people out to extend the kingdom. Otherwise, in Jerusalem, for example, when the church grew, it grew because they were scattered. This is an example of when the Holy Spirit says, I'll take those ones and I'm going to set them apart and they're going to go out and preach the gospel. It's intentional sending out of people. And that's what this is about. And so there's five people mentioned on this church leadership team. It says, now at the church at Antioch, they were prophets and teachers. And remember at this time, there was no New Testament for them. They only had the Old Testament. And so the prophets and the teachers were always quite predominant, and the apostles in the early church, because they had no New Testament. And the prophets were saying, this is what the Lord is saying. And they needed the teachers to build the people up in their faith. They had no Bibles. It says the prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, whom we know as Paul. He's also described as Paul later on as well. But here are five leaders in this church, or five people that are mentioned anyway. They are incredibly diverse. They come from different backgrounds. They come from they have different social class, if you like. They have different ethnic origins as well. And it's interesting with this chap Manaen, who'd been brought up in the same household as Herod, who had killed John the Baptist. And now his brother, or his person, whoever he is, is now leading the church in Antioch with these other people. Quite a mixed, diverse bunch of people. And then they're worshiping the Lord. They were ministering. It's interesting, in other translations they say they were ministering to the Lord. Sometimes we're very used to ministering for the Lord, but they were ministering to the Lord, worshiping. That's what we do when we worship. We're ministering to God. And it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Coming through the prophets, no doubt, in the church there. Now that is a significant moment here for that church. These are great people, Saul and Barnabas. Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement. Everybody would love to hang around Barnabas because you would have got such encouragement from him. So nobody would want to lose Barnabas. What are we going to do without Barnabas? The congregation at Antioch said. And then if you think Barnabas is a loss, they're going to take Saul. My goodness, please, can we keep Saul? We're going to fall apart without Saul. There's the Apostle Paul. I mean, who wouldn't want him in your church? Well, some people might not want him in their church. If you read his letters, some people might be like, thank goodness he's going. He was an uncomfortable man to be around because he was very Jesus-centered. But there you go. They took Saul, Barnabas, and Saul. And so huge gaps would be left in that Antioch church. Can you imagine the Sunday after, or the week after, or the month after, and they'd be thinking, my goodness, we sent those people off. Did we do the right thing? What are we going to do now? You know, that's not what we read here, but you can imagine the human reaction of the church in Antioch. And we may feel the same. What are we going to do without these great people that we loved and served with and journeyed with as they go off to St. Michael's? But the thing is, that is how it is in the kingdom of God. And we want to be those who embrace what God is doing among us and say, Lord, take us deeper, take us higher. This is a painful privilege that we get to graft and to send people out just like they did in the Antioch church. And when I talk about big gaps, maybe one of the things God is doing is stirring us up to something new, or maybe stirring some of you up or me to do things differently, or to see things differently, or to be called up into a ministry you never expected. We don't know. That's the adventure of the kingdom of God. And that's why we all are involved, and we all have to step out and step up into this new season that God's calling us into. And so this Antioch church, they still had a mission, even without Barnabas and Saul. They still went forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happened then to Barnabas and Saul is so interesting because it goes on to talk about their mission in Cyprus, the beginning of this first missionary journey. And I just want to say a few words about that as well. It says that they were led by the Spirit. They were sent on their way by the Spirit down to Seleucia on Cyprus. And they sailed there, from there to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, it says they proclaimed the word of God. They proclaimed the word of God. So they went out from Antioch in dependence on God. That's where the prayer and fasting came in. And I would love to call us to some prayer and fasting as we send out this team. And more of that later. But as we send out this team to St. Michael's, we want them to go and we want us to be in dependence on God. And the prayer and fasting are a sign of dependence on the Lord. But it also says that they went out and they proclaimed the word of God. So secondly, they planted the gospel. And I think it's interesting, there's so much talk about church planting today. But really, it's not planting churches, you plant the gospel. Paul went around planting the gospel. He didn't go around preaching about church, he went around preaching about Jesus. And God builds the church. And so they proclaimed the word of God. And that's what we do, and that's what we want to do more and more in everything that we do. Every one of us a missionary. Every one of us a gospel planter. Every one of us, like we heard when we did the Hope Center, every one of us a Hope Center in every part of our lives. That's what our vision is about. Every person, every place, where your workplace, your home, your school, your community, your you name it, wherever you are, you are a mission partner. You are a hope center. You are someone who is an evangel, giving a messenger, an ambassador for Christ, that wherever you go, you spread the fragrance of life to those who will believe, but death to those who will not believe, because they will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so we are called as missionaries. We're called as those with the gospel of the good news. And it says they proclaimed the word of God. And that's what this team is going to do. And that's what we're going to do as well as they go. And thirdly, not only did they go in dependence on God, they planted the gospel. And then thirdly, they had opportunities. It said, look here in verse 6 and 7. This proconsul. And it says there, right at the end of verse 7, the proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. And there are people who want to hear the word of God. It's easy for us to think that we live in such a hard world and nobody wants to know the gospel. No, they do. They do. And notice the double emphasis is on the word of God. We have a gospel which is, we didn't make up. We don't get defining rights of it. It's a gospel that Jesus Christ, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And one of the things I would love to see us grow in is that gospel culture, that gospel passion would rise up in all of us, and we would never, ever get bored of the gospel, of what Jesus did on the cross for every person. And that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And that's why we are a missionary people, because God is through us spreading that fragrance of the gospel all through our community and all through wherever we live and whatever we do. That's our mission. That's our calling. And there are people today who want to hear the word of God. There is a famine of the word of God in our land. There are hungry people who don't have spiritual food. Just as there are people who don't have physical food, and we have food bank and saved and other things. There are also people spiritually hungry. And many people don't even know it, that they're spiritually hungry. But that they need the word of God. This proconsul didn't know. Unless Saul and Barnabas had gone out, if they had stayed in their comfort, this proconsul would have continued wanting the word of God, and nobody would have told him. How shall they hear unless they have a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful is the feet of those who bring good news. And that is our one purpose here on earth. Go into all the world and preach the good news. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. That is the purpose of which God has called us. And he's going to help us to do it in 100 different ways, or in all the ways that of people there are in this room. We can do it differently, but the message is the same. The word of God. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference. It's not us going to make suggestions to people. It's us going to bring the living word of God. And when people come into contact with God's word, which is living and active, it will produce life. And there will be gospel growth. And that's one of the reasons why I'm perplexed. Because when I came here, and Caroline with us, and I was thinking about it the other day, when we arrived here, and I remember thinking, there's nothing stopping this church from exploding into life. And my prayer is that we would see that explosion into life more and more and more. I want to see more people become Christians. I want to see more people come into new life. And that was part of the call God gave me back when I was 15 years old, to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's what Loudoun needs. Forgiveness of sins. Loudoun needs the grace of God. Loudoun needs, there is a savior from all sin. And people are dead without Christ. Not just bad, dead. And they need to be awakened. There needs to be, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's what we need. Resurrection life. Gospel life. Salvation life. The power of God. Revival. Amen? That's what we need. Otherwise, we're going to be here in another 5 years with a trickle. But we don't want the trickle. So we've got to do something about it. What is God saying to us? If and this is not a word of condemnation, this is a word of invitation. Because I am saying, I don't think I've got it right either. Somehow, together, we've got to seek God and see something new. Because we're just like all the other New Wine churches, all the other charismatic evangelical churches, where sometimes I wonder, are we really charismatic? Are we really evangelical? Because if we really were, this church would be exploding into life. And so may God, Selah, really, have a think about that. It says here, I'm just going to keep going, sorry. He wanted to hear the word of God. That's where we were. He wanted to hear the word of God. There are people who want to hear the word of God, but they've got nobody to tell them. And we're keeping it a secret. And they need to know. And the fourth thing here, look, it says, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. So if we really go for this, with this graft and also with what God wants to do in us, we are going to be opposed. Isn't that right? Are we going to be surprised when we are opposed? I mean, they had it here. Saul and Barnabas didn't go out to make people's lives a misery. They went out to bring the gospel. But unfortunately, the gospel is always opposed by the culture. Did they oppose Jesus? Did Paul get opposition? He was hounded out. I mean, he was beaten. He had to escape in the middle of the night. And I think it's really interesting. So many churches today, you hear people talk about wanting to be a New Testament church. But nobody ever mentions this side of the New Testament church. How Paul had to escape for his life. Or how he was beaten. Or how he was shipwrecked. Or all these things that happened in the New Testament church. We want the fireworks, but we don't want the sacrifice. And that's where we need to be. Because actually the reward of the kingdom of God is for those who will really pay the price. And that's for us. So they were opposed. And I don't know in St. Michael's or here what it is we might face, but we could be opposed. Anybody who gets, if we've got a little bit of Jesus, then that, everybody thinks that's great. But if you really start to get passionate for the Lord, people tell you, you're an extremist. You're this, you're that, you're the next thing. And we will be opposed. Do not be surprised when people insult you or despitefully use you or say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And I really believe that the message we have is not popular. It is not culturally acceptable, this gospel. People don't want to know that they're dead spiritually. They'd rather be told that you've got some sort of five tips to make them better. And actually, when we go and say to people, without Christ, you're dead in your sins, and that there is a reality of hell, and that there is a reality of eternity and judgment to come. People don't want to hear that today. And the Bible told us that this would happen. It says people in the last days will say, you know, will just gather themselves teachers who will say whatever their ears want to hear. And we should not be surprised at that either. We've been told it all already if we read our Bibles. And so that is where we are. We want to be those who bring the word of God. We're not just out to say to people, come to Jesus and be happy. We're going to, I mean, how many of us have experienced that, to be honest? Come to Jesus. It doesn't always make you happy. It makes you holy, not happy. Happiness is something else, but the joy of the Lord. There's no gift, there's no fruit of the Spirit called happiness. There is joy and peace. There is such a thing as hope. There is such a thing as the peace that passes understanding. But if we're making the goal of our life to be happy, then we didn't read that in the Bible anywhere. It's that one's for the birds, really. It says he tried to turn them from the proconsul from the faith, and people will try to stop you and me sharing Jesus. What do we do then? It gets even better. Look at this. Oh, Lord. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, you got to read this, okay? I didn't write this. It says, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil. I mean, I have to say, I've never done that to anybody. I don't know about you. Have you ever done that? Why are these things in the Bible? We always want to be so nice to everybody. And we do. We love people. But do you think Paul said that not in love? He was filled with the Spirit. Do you know what was happening here? Somebody was trying to stop someone becoming a Christian. And Paul cared for the soul of that proconsul so much that he spoke directly to the person who was going to damn the proconsul's soul. And it was more than being polite. It's past politeness. Because sometimes we've got to say what is happening. And that's what happened here with the Apostle Paul. It's pretty strong stuff, but it's there. Is he wrong? No. Maybe it gave Elymas a wake-up call. Maybe some people need a wake-up call. I mean, I'm not advocating just going around doing that, especially in the flesh. I'm sure somebody has built a ministry around that and it's not going well. But he was filled with the Spirit. That makes all the difference for me, because it was the Spirit who did that. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? You hypocrites! Again, I mean, we don't do that. Jesus did it in the New Testament. And we talk about wanting to be a New Testament church. I mean, we've got to work this out somehow. I haven't got an answer for you apart from be filled with the Spirit and do what the Spirit says and does. It's risky, isn't it? I mean, it makes us all take a sharp intake of breath when we hear people talk like this, because we're not used to it. So that's the one for your life group another day to discuss and think about, and you can come and tell me what you think. He says, you're a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is good. And what is he doing here? Paul here broke through by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the work of God was about to, was being contested. There was a work of God happening in that proconsul's life. And somebody was opposing it, contesting it, and saying, don't do that. And so what happened then was Paul didn't back off. He actually broke through in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it took that word of rebuke to Elymas. And then what happened? Look, let's look. Immediately, the word, I mean, again, if you think the word was tough, look at what happened to the man. He says, You never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord. Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. I pray that Elymas, that supernatural rebuke brought him to the Lord. We don't know. I pray that that brought him to repentance and faith. I mean, my goodness. If that happened, it's a bit like Ananias and Sapphira. It's one of those moments where the fear of the Lord comes upon people because we recognize this is not a game. This is serious business that people are doing with God. And if you oppose God, you've got to be warned. Do not oppose God. Because this is the thing that can happen. And I really find it interesting. We've got to get God in balance, because if we only think that God is good, we don't understand things like this. He is good. He's also holy. He is also the just judge. He is also Almighty God who can do these things to people. This happens to people, and it was in his goodness he did it. The last verse, when the proconsul saw what happened, he believed. The proconsul got life. I hope Elymas believed. For he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. So Saul got this breakthrough. And then they saw people come to Christ. This is all born from that moment where they said, set apart for me Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. And the Lord had that proconsul in mind. And I'm sure he had many others in mind in that first missionary journey when they went about proclaiming the gospel, doing signs and wonders, healing people, all kinds of things going on, and the gospel was planted all across Asia Minor. And this was the work of the Lord. It says he believed, that proconsul. We want this grafting to result in people believing. It's not for its own sake. It is for the sake of the world. It's for the sake of the lost. It's for the sake of those who don't know Christ. And may God give us that greater heart and a greater love and a greater desire to say, God, make us missionaries. Make me a missionary. Make me someone who is sent out with the love of Christ. Paul spoke about this all the time. And he talked about, I want to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And that's the heart that this group had. And so, in closing this morning, just want to invite us to step out as they did. And even, we rejoice with those who are going to be stepping out into St. Michael's. We're going to be saying gospel goodbyes to them because they've got this heart to go and serve, love and serve where they go. But it also includes all of us. All of us, with all our brokenness, with all our confusions and all of our doubts and all of our fears, and all of the things that go to make us up as human beings, that God still puts his hand upon us. And none of it is an excuse. I have multiple layers of fears that I'm asking God to deliver me from. But it never excuses me from being a witness and being a messenger and being an ambassador. If we think that Paul and Saul and Barnabas went out without any fear or trepidation or any second thoughts, I'm sure that, perhaps we don't treat them as human beings, because we do have those things. But remarkably, this is what grace is. God uses us anyway. He takes us anyway. He uses the humble to shame the strong, the weak to shame the wise, you name it, he'll take you. If you think you're disqualified, then you are eminently qualified in the kingdom of God. Paul said he was the worst of all sinners. And in fact, as you read through Paul's writings, he gets even more aware of it. The closer he gets to God, the more he's aware of his inadequacy. That's Paul's journey. The most inadequate. He thought he was the weakest of all the saints. That's how he described himself. And I don't think he actually, he wasn't being falsely modest. He really saw his weakness. And if what I'm saying this morning rings true, but the main reason we think we can't step up is because of our weakness, then just please just join the ranks of the Apostle Paul, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jonah, all these people that all the way through the Bible thought they ran from God. They had the great depression. They had all sorts of things happen in their lives. Abraham sinning like there's no tomorrow. That was Abraham. Yet God made him the father of many nations. Look at Moses, a murderer. All these people have many worse problems than you and me, most of them. And God used them. That's how we want to be. Lord, make us, give us the fire of the Holy Spirit, like William Booth in the old Salvation Army, blood and fire, sacrifice and anointing. That's what they were up for. And may God do that in us. So it may get harder to be a member of this church. So that's okay. I don't mean that flippantly. I really mean it, because if Jesus does want to work in us, it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be all happy-go-lucky in the kingdom. It is going to be like the New Testament. But that's my heart and my word for you today, and it's mostly three fingers pointed back at me. So may God help us. Shall we stand together? Just going to wait for a moment, just trying to listen to the Lord. Heavenly Father, the Spirit of the Lord is giving us an opportunity and it is an opportunity. You're standing at the door of our church and knocking. And I pray that we would open the door and let Jesus come in. Have mercy, Lord, that we've had you on the outside for too long. And we want you on the inside of our church to make us go to the outside of our church. Lord God, Father, we pray, have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. and lead us into a new season on our knees. Lord, I need to meet with you afresh, and I'm sure many of us do here today. We are not satisfied, but we know, Lord, it's not your fault, it's ours. And I just pray, Lord, that we would return to the Lord our God with all our heart, with wholeheartedness, return to the Lord. Come to God, bow the knee, and let him fill us afresh. And so, Father God, we declare our complete dependence upon you, because despite everything, in our own strength, we have nothing. So I wonder today if you feel you're on a roundabout and you're in a rut and if there's a dissatisfaction, you know, we should not, that's not where God's called us to camp. We're not supposed to be in a rut. We're not supposed to be around going round and round. God wants to do a work in us. And I wonder whether you would just quietly come forward here and stand before the Lord or kneel before the Lord. It's always a good thing to kneel before the Lord, but I know many of us, it's a hard floor. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will, yeah, if that's you, then just come forward now and stand here with me. And we're recognizing that this is much bigger. This graft is much bigger because it's God is saying it's for all of us. This is for all of us. Yeah. And just come quietly and kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Fill us afresh, Lord. Just ask God for his mercy and ask God for his filling. It's very simple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.